doom boom boom boom. Oh ba doom boom. Oh doom doom boom. Oh doom boom boom boom. Oh ba doom boom. Oh doom doom boom. Oh doom boom boom boom.
Welcome to This Week in Mormons, the show that's still happening when Jeff has time for it.
Are you eating?
No, I'm not.
So much enthusiasm from my wife.
You said it would be a big show. That's why I'm here.
I never edited that out, did I?
No, you didn't. Aha!
Yeah, I did mention that last week. We had some plans. Plans did not work out. To no one's fault, really. But it's fine. So
you get me.
So you're the backup.
I'm the backup, like your your last resort, maybe.
Well, my last resort.
Okay. So you say.
My penultimate resort.
Jeff, how's it going?
Pretty well. How have you been?
Well, today's Halloween. Mm. Woohoo! I'm going to date this episode for you.
I know. Well, it's fine. We're just sitting here eating our kids' candy. And
I already had his Twix and his Snickers.
He doesn't deserve them. He's nice.
He does. He's adorable. That's how we got it.
Yeah, it's true. Everyone talked about how cute he was when we walked around. And he explained to me everything that was going on.
Uh-huh.
He said, "Oh, Dad, there are some people are not home in their houses, Dad, and they don't have candy. But some people are sitting outside and they do have candy."
Well, that was very nice of those people.
Yeah.
Sitting outside.
When you've got a cute little
fireman.
Small little fireman, he just he does well. I mean, we could have pulled harder. We did go by our bishop's house, and I'm the executive secretary. You'd think he'd be like, "Here, guy, have
a handful,
three or four, just a grip." He just gave him one piece. I'm not going to lie. I felt a little cheated after everything I've done for him.
Does he not understand that candy goes directly to you?
And that's what I'm saying. So is this an indictment of my service? Is he basically trying to send messages? Try harder, Jeffrey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to do.
That was me singing a song that I guarantee none of you know except for my wife.
It's a good time.
Should we play Jacqueline at the end of the show, maybe?
Sure, do it.
Okay.
It's the only date we've been on in probably a year and a half.
Maybe. Every time my sister visits or my mother-in-law, we say, "You watch the children." But that was the most legit date we've been on in a long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this happened during the summer when we weren't recording. My sister was in town and Danielle and I just drove all the way up to Washington, D.C. It's a city that we once went to frequently.
We still go to it
now
frequently.
It is far away.
It just takes 40 minutes to get there.
From the suburbs.
The suburbs. We've fully embraced the suburbs.
Well, embraced is an interesting term.
You bought us a minivan. We've embraced the suburbs.
I was ready to do that even before we got married. I would have happily driven a minivan before we even met.
I don't believe
How
you.
How impressive would that have been? Oh, you don't like your roommates? Come into my van.
What's up, girl? That you're a creeper.
I know.
That would be very creepy.
I know, and that's what you thought of me for a long time.
That's what I would think of someone in a minivan.
In case
when
none of you can
single.
Tell, Danielle and I have a bit of what you might call a dry, sarcastic relationship. Now, if we do well, listeners, even though you're only listening, we can get her to laugh so hard.
I snort.
That she snorts. Now, when she snorts, I feel like I've done my job as a spouse.
Really?
Well, at least in providing you entertainment.
Okay.
Perhaps not in other things. I don't know. But
I don't know when it happens. It only...
Sometimes it's for very strange things that you would not think. But, you know, Adam Sandler movies, that sort of thing. But you're doing great things.
I am. Today,
You're also very tired today.
I'm very tired.
You've been up since you went to bed at what, 2 last night?
It's my own fault.
Yes,
so our son is in Joy School, which I think was created by a Mormon.
It sounds made up.
It's been going on for years.
You explained this to me when you wanted to enroll him, and it took me a while to.
Well, I jumped on board because it was cheap.
And I'm cheap.
I only have to do it once every 7 weeks. But it means that I'm hosting 7 3-year-olds in our home. And the first time around, I thought, no big deal. It's going to be great. I'm going to rock this. Mm-hmm. It was terrible.
You texted me. It's 3 hours long. You texted me about 2 minutes after the bell, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
The first time.
Like, our son was teaching the kids how to jump on the couch. And not that they didn't know how to do that already, but he was encouraging it.
He helped them.
Yeah, of course. He showed them where the marshmallows were hiding. So they were stuffing their faces with marshmallows. I
forgot about the marshmallows.
And I also scared a child so bad with a pretend monster that he was physically shaking to go home. And I just felt like such a failure. But this time around, I had to pull it together in 3 days. So I just procrastinated.
It was shorter notice.
So it was up till 2 a.m. I had to decorate for Halloween, right? And we had a parade and we had pumpkin carving and we had cookies to decorate. It was a much better experience.
Well, it sounds like it was more of a party.
It was a party.
It does not sound like school. Was there school or joy?
I taught about feelings. You know, jack-o'-lanterns have faces.
Is that how? Please.
My father has many faces.
Another joke nobody gets.
No one's going to get that.
So, you guys, you thought that like Al and I, 40% of the show is inside jokes. It's going to be way worse.
Oh, no.
It's going to be nothing but the random things we say to each other. My father has many faces was from a 13-year-old who spoke poems like 7 years ago at a Valentine's Day poetry off at a junior high. So anyway...
Yep.
You sort of taught them.
I taught them about
did you reach feelings today?
Maybe. I mean, the more important part was that they got to do a parade where the kids had to go around our kitchen table and then they stood on these little spots and sang some songs. Which they did not know.
Were those the markers you put on the floor?
Yeah,
it's like television, people.
It was just like television. They had to find an X. And the great part was that my own son led three other children in the wrong direction down to the basement.
Sounds about right.
And I think Guy is our problem. Like, he's my problem with this. He also cried, but he was the only kid that cried today. So I think it was a success.
Does he act up because he's home or because he's actually the troubled child of the class?
I have no clue.
We're still trying to figure this out. He goes into nursery in into Sunbeams in January.
I blame the father.
You should. And I'm very afraid that he'll be one of the bad kids.
It's possible.
He's like a really nice kid, but he has a hard time. He likes to play.
And he's smart.
And he gets bored easily because he's pretty smart.
Yeah, he was fighting with a kid over the globe because he wanted to show him where all the animals lived.
Yeah, all of
them. So, yeah.
This is why last week or a couple weeks ago in Joy School, they were learning about animals apparently. And he took over the lesson, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
He corrected the teacher when they said, you know, they live in the jungle. He's like, no. They live in the savannah.
Yes.
He's very particular.
He's particular. So
he's convinced because of one map, whale sharks only live off the coast of Western Australia. I've tried to tell him they live elsewhere, but he's adamant that they live right there in the one spot where they are. We could talk about our kids all day. I mean, this is good for him, though, because we usually focus on the one-year-old, you know, and he's just... So it's good that we're thinking about the older one.
You're being sarcastic, because I feel like we talk about the older one all the time.
Well, he does more.
He does. The other one's just walking.
The one just walks
everywhere.
Around and tackles people. And
he does.
And points at lights.
He likes light.
Many of you have had kids. You know about these crazy, wacky things that we do. Tell us in the comments. Tell us about your kids and all the things they do. This will be the most riveting twin thread ever.
No, but I think...
Twilds, whatever we are.
I think that Joy School is something that's like more common than I realized until we moved into the suburbs.
There's so much I'd never heard of until we moved.
What?
It's a new subject. I don't want to end.
Okay. I just want to say next year I'm not doing Joy School. I'm done.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Well, we'll probably put them in regular preschool next year.
Thank you.
So, speaking of interesting things we've learned since moving to the suburbs.
Okay.
This past week I was in ward council and there was a discussion about a ward Christmas party. It's coming up. It's planning time now. You want to make sure you get it done. It's only, what, 6 weeks out?
Of course.
And the discussion veered into whether or not Santa should be involved in the festivities.
Yeah.
Now, in my experience, Santa has often been present. I mean, as you've usually seen growing up.
I don't even remember Santa that much, but I think the kids like it. Maybe I do remember him coming.
I'm trying to see where'd it go. I had a poll. Here's a poll. It's not playing.
The point is, Jeff loves Santa at a ward party.
I think it's just fun. It's fun for the kids. It's just part of it. It's not, you don't want to take away from the reason for the season, but the kids love seeing Santa. And I think we've seen it for years. That's fine. That's my opinion. But what surprised me more is it came up in the meeting that there are people who are very passionately not just at award party, but like, do not teach their kids about Santa because it is quote lying to them.
Yes.
I don't want to like judge how one parents. That's fine, though. It was amusing. I talked to somebody else who was pro Santa. Now we're in factions. There are ites among us now in the ward. It's great. Fourth Nephi, everybody. And this individual basically said, I grew up believing in Santa and I still believe in Jesus. I think I turned out okay. So that's my opinion. But I don't know. Is this a thing? Have you ever heard of people being like adamantly anti-Santa like this?
You know
before?
What's funny?
Because I haven't. Not like this. This is like militant.
Okay. But I think I heard like the church historian actually talk about the way people are learning about Joseph Smith. And he like compared it to Santa.
Oh, like to the big reveal when you find out.
Yeah.
So like kids, tune out for 1 second when you find out Santa's...
Uh-huh. Yeah. So what I'm saying is the church is for it. Let's just do it.
I like
because the historian is
when
using
it. When did you
it.
See this? I haven't seen the church historian
using it. You can look it up.
Well, I know
I'll
I can
it.
Look anything
we'll
up.
We'll find the link.
Is this like in the Young Women's Manual?
No, it's on the church. Because
that's risky. You teach Maya maids. Some of them might still believe in the clause. I mean.
What?
I'm just joking. You never know, though. Kids are sheltered. We live in the suburbs. Kids are sheltered. Who knows?
I don't know.
That's kind of true, though. I mean, I guess when you find out about Santa, you get a little bummed out, but then you realize all along mom and dad were doing it and loved you. And I think I don't have any memory of finding out and being crushed about Santa. I don't remember having like an adverse reaction to it. I think I was sad for a little bit. But
I found once my mother forgot about my tooth, which was lost. And I said, oh, the tooth fairy didn't come. She said, oh, yeah, it's in my pocket. It was a $20 bill. And then everything dissolved from there. It was like, the tooth fairy, he didn't. Yeah.
Easter bunny.
Yeah, Easter bunny, all of it. I do remember that moment, though.
This might shock you. My mom tried to keep up the illusion for a pretty long time. Can you imagine?
Your mom still writes from Santa for Christmas.
She still gets...
Yeah.
She even gives herself presents from Santa.
She does. Christmas. She's a lucky duck.
And she gets all excited when it's some big gift that she's wanted and...
Ooh.
You making fun of your mother-in-law?
No.
I'll do it, but she's my mom.
They don't know what she sounds like.
We should we should get Babsy on this show.
Someday.
Ooh. See, now I'm doing it. She gets
she's great. She buys wonderful gifts.
But anyway, enough about Christmas. It's not Black Friday. I know it's November by the time basically all of you are going to listen to this, but we can't get too ahead of ourselves. We still have Thanksgiving going on. Lots happening with the holidays. Right?
I'm yawning really big over
here. I do this
here.
All the time when Al and I record because he'll make me stay up late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's okay. You're not a weak person. This is part of This Week in Mormons.
All right.
Tired while recording. Don't feel bad.
Let's continue onward, Jeffrey.
If you insist, I mean, we could do a little bit of the actual news. Do we have any other things to catch up, the dear listeners, on our important lives? Anything of consequence going down?
I'm going to work. I don't know.
That's
my own thing.
You get to go to Colorado next week.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward.
I know
to
you are. You're trying to play it up like you're gonna miss your children and your husband.
I've never left my children.
That's true.
Ever.
Yeah.
But that bed, all like
it's a nice place.
Yeah. With Anyways,
I'm a little jealous.
I'm looking forward to a hotel.
And then, but then the flip side, I get to be by myself for a week when you guys go to California.
That's true.
I will like it for
we
a day.
We do love each other, by the way. We do enjoy being together.
November's our month off. And
what?
We get in a better place for Christmas, you know?
Our month, that doesn't make sense.
You sure?
Uh-huh, I'm positive.
All right. Because we're barely going to see each other for 2 weeks.
2 weeks. It's going to be okay.
I hope so.
We're confident humans.
I'm going to have fun the night, like the day you guys are gone. You know what it'll be? I'll work late. I'll probably go to Popeyes. I'll regret going to Popeyes. I'll watch some movie you don't want to watch with me. The usual routine.
Mm-hmm. Then you'll stick to your side of the bed the whole week.
I don't know why you think this is funny.
It's so weird.
Tell the listeners what I do.
So Jeffrey does not remove the pillows on the other side of the bed. When I'm out of town, he just keeps everything in place and just takes his side. And everything else is in perfect order. Versus me, as soon as Jeff gets out of the bed in the morning to get ready for work, I am diagonal. I am taking over the entire thing. I don't need to be confined. That's
I grew up on a twin. I don't know. Just used to it.
I did not.
Whatever, lady. So anyways, Halloween happened, so that was fun tonight. We saw a few Halloween-y things happen in church. My favorite thing I saw going around social media, though, was this post of a couple that I believe one of them dressed with what RIP home teaching and RIP. They were like zombies, one yeah. for home teaching, one for the 3-hour block.
I hope they won the award.
I hope they won all the awards. I also hope they dressed like that at work. Assuming they're not in Utah or an LDS majority area.
So then they can say, people. Are you asking me if I'm a member exactly. of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
Look at you making fun of the prophet.
No, I'm not.
You are going to go straight to hell.
I was not. I was just trying
that was
to
a test. There
share
is no.
an example of how they can fellowship. And
I've yet to have that opportunity. I hope you get this, honey. You're going back to, you're going to be a professional for a little while. Once more, I hope you bring this up when people will inevitably at a big conference ask you about your faith, because that's what happens at events like this.
Yeah.
You have to do the right thing then.
I will.
I'm still bad, and I just say, yeah, well, you know, I'm Mormon, so I have not adapted at all.
Well,
I'm terrible.
That's going. So recently I just had a ministering interview, and I feel
the way you say this,
it's like, because I can't remember the name sometimes. I know that's terrible. But my companion, are they still companions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
My companion, is a recent convert to the church. And so
she's a rock star too.
And she's
Dynamite.
She's super intense, like, well, intense in a great
yeah,
way.
I know,
like,
I know.
I mean, she's getting her like,
she's into it.
Yeah. But she's getting her like PhD right now. She's an older
she's got
woman.
Her stuff together
And she's working full-time and she's been in the army.
It's like,
and
we're discussing.
I'm just
here's
thinking,
all the things converts typically are not working full-time.
No.
An education.
I'm saying she's a rock star.
You
and
racist.
I'm saying when we had this interview, I felt like because she is new to it and because it changed like right when she came into the church, she has such a better or easier understanding in a way of what the program is. She's been researching it. And in my head, I'm just like, oh, okay, it's like visiting teaching, but they just changed the name and I don't have to report as much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in many ways it is, especially on the ministering end for men is really just doing visiting teaching, but reporting less. We've talked about this before, but yeah, on the show, but it's, and it wasn't until you went to this the other day that I really remembered that once again, it's still the women only teaching the women, just like visiting teaching, whereas the men are covering the whole ward. I think a real ministering revamp would be taking a different approach to that. Either,
yeah,
I don't know. I would love it if you and I were just a companionship. It would just be hard with kids. Cause how
Jeff,
be?
We are a companionship.
Well, I mean, legally, yes.
Yes.
And on the records of the church.
It's bound.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
You're stuck.
Well, you know, it's where I like to be. So anyway, home teaching, that was funny. Good for them. Do we have any other Halloween thing? Oh, so let's talk about the BYU student.
Who went blackface?
It's like only in Provo, right?
Yeah.
Or probably elsewhere. But so I don't think they've released the name of this individual, have they? Anyway, so
he's a communication.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
You'd expect this to happen perhaps somewhere else when you're not thinking, but a comms major, the people who are trained to know what to say and how to say it and how to act.
Okay, but are you really trained
to be socially aware enough not to dress in blackface at a party? I like to say that society alone trains you on that one. But
I know. But I mean, they've reprimanded him, I guess.
I don't know what that reprimand is going to be, but yeah, the dean of the communications school has said it will be dealt with. This is not because it violates the professionalism statement for.
And they have to have a training for everyone, I think.
Is like that sensitivity training?
Yeah.
They should have Michael Scott do it. It'd be great.
Oh, I'm sure it would be beautiful.
Prison Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I love the student and I'm very happy that he did a dumb thing. Not actually happy, but I mean, come on.
You're happy that there's going to be a change because of it?
I don't know if there's going to be a wild change. It's just when things like this could happen anywhere, but for some reason I feel like as Latter-day Saints and a lot of BYU, we're a little insular. We're a little out of it. And I think sometimes we're not as socially aware as we could be.
Okay.
We're not the only group to be that way, but I think sort of given our inward-looking nature sometimes, we sometimes miss some.
Do you
want to
know where this
cues.
Kid is like from originally?
Oh, I know where he's from.
Oh, you think he's from where?
Oh, Woods Cross, no doubt.
I don't even know where that
is. By Bountiful.
Okay. All right. It does. That's not actually true. We don't really know that.
I have
that's
no idea where it's from. No, actually,
guessing.
He's probably from Mesa and East Mesa. You know what I'm talking about, listeners? Not what East. You know what that means. You know, right?
I've never been to Arizona.
I keep forgetting that. Oh, it sucks. Don't go.
Apparently.
Anyway, if we lose all of our Arizona listeners, I'll stand by my words. You know who you are. One of you is my sister, but you know who you are. All right. Good job, blackface kid. So, Danielle, what do you want to do? You control.
Well, eventually, I would like to go to bed. But let's.
It's like I'm holding you hostage.
No, no.
You cannot leave until you do this. Oh, I also saw the Angel Moroni was placed atop the Durban, South Africa temple this past week.
Cool.
You know, I like following my temple news.
Yeah.
So that's exciting stuff.
That is.
The second temple in the country of South Africa, Durban's out on the southeast coast on the Indian Ocean. You doing a little chocolate rain over there, honey?
I am. I'm trying not to breathe into the microphone. Do you want to talk about pageants?
It's kind of been, I think, the big story of the week.
They're going away.
Ish.
Ish.
Yeah.
They're going away.
Should I read the church statement on this?
Please do.
This kind of came out of nowhere. This, I guess, to preface this, it's starting to make me feel sad, as if with like the shorter block and pulling back on a lot of things, almost as if we're like trying to really, really, really minimize the church, like in a huge way, like reduce the church so that it's this bare minimum apparatus. Maybe that's what it should be. But since I grew up with the church being this big thing socially and all this stuff, it's kind of what I like, what I'm used to. I don't want a church where it's just we sort of, what's it going to be? We just show up for sacrament. We show up and take the sacrament and go home and the rest of it is up to us. Where's our community then? I don't know. That's speculation. You were saying?
Well, I've never been to a pageant, so...
No, me neither.
Well, we have expertise on this, but I would think... I mean, do they focus directly on Christ? Isn't that like the whole goal on this?
My understanding is the pageants recreate the Savior's own visit to the Nephite people, like at the Hill Cumorah one, for example. I don't see what the struggle is.
So I think they need to rephrase this reasoning.
Well, let's see what we say here. So it says, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is growing across the earth. As this occurs, local church leaders and members are encouraged to focus on gospel learning in their homes, and to participate in Sabbath worship and the church's supporting programs for youth, children, individuals, and families. The goal of every activity in the church should be to increase faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to share his gospel message throughout the world. Local celebrations of culture and history may be appropriate. Larger productions, such as pageants, are discouraged. As it relates to existing pageants, conversations with local church and community leaders are underway to appropriately end, modify, or continue these productions.
I don't think that said anything.
What are you talking about?
I mean, they're going to either end, continue, or modify.
Well, we've learned some are ending and some are being modified, right?
Okay.
I mean, we know Hill Cumorah is going to end after its 2020 season.
I guess I just want a list and I want a reason.
Well, I'm working on that. So there are 7 pageants that the church does. So we know Hill Cumorah is going to close. The Nauvoo pageant will go on. Manti's pageant may continue with changes. I believe the Mesa pageant's going away and I don't know where the other 3 are.
What's on the Manti pageant?
It's called the Manti Miracle Pageant. I don't know, it's just like a lot of miracles. Okay. I've never been.
I haven't either. We're terrible.
I don't
actually
know.
We're not terrible. We just don't live there. Okay.
So I'm trying to find the list for you about the other ones.
Is this strictly talking about pageants, like the large pageants? Don't wards have pageants sometimes?
Well, maybe not pageants. There's pageants, there are the classic road show, which doesn't happen too often. It did make me wonder about road shows. I don't know. Does that mean it does? The statement does say that local celebrations of culture and history may be appropriate, but larger.
I'm pretty sure my road show was like the Brady Bunch remix.
Well, they're deliberately silly. I mean, that's the point of them. So there's not really a cultural celebration, but road shows take up a lot of time.
They do.
But I found it was kind of fun when I've done road shows. It's a lot of work, but it's fun to put it together.
Okay.
I directed a road show once, honey. Did you know that about me?
On your mission?
No.
Okay.
Do you think they're doing road shows in Spain?
You always talk about Saved by the Bell.
They're really getting people to church in Spain. No, Saved by the Bell, that was a fireside officially, not a road show.
Oh.
It didn't go on the road, but it might as well. And it was also, the road shows are only about 12 minutes long. Saved by the Bell was actually a solid 50 minutes of entertainment.
Oh, wow.
We packed the room with non-members. It was,
oh my.
Like the members brought non-members. It was awesome. It was,
wow.
Honey, it was so good.
It's epic. That's why you keep talking about it.
Have you seen the pictures? Did you see me playing Screech? It's so good.
Yeah.
I wore a wig.
I'm sure you did.
Big fro. We went to a costume shop. This is how you spend time when you're zone leader.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know. I would love it if they still did. Road shows don't happen very often. Not that I hear of much anymore, but they're fun to do. I even remember when I was a kid, the wards would even put on plays. This was a real thing. They did like Little Women at my church building. I vaguely remember this as a child. I think my mom was in it. That's the only, she had an appropriate outfit that she sometimes still wears when she's lonely.
Does your mom listen to this show?
Of course not. I think she knows how to open the podcast's app on her iPhone and do it. No, we're good. Oh. I love you, Babsy. You're doing good things. So now a funny thing though is while this makes sense as far as people, I have heard that numbers are down. Like the Hokomora pageant's famous. It's this massive thing. But years ago, you'd have 75,000 people there and a ton of them were non-members. It was a big regional attraction.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2018, about 25,000 people attended, and allegedly they were pretty much all LDS. So it's still a cool pilgrimage for Latter-day Saints.
Well, I know a lot of the youth out here will go up for it.
Do they go up for the actual pageant? I mean, I know up here they do like Palmyra trips and stuff. I didn't know the pageant was part of it.
Yes, I believe so, if they're lucky enough.
And we've been to Palmyra, but not during pageant time.
No. And I remember we went there and I was like, I don't know how this whole thing is set up. There was like a very large hill. Where do people sit? Is it down below?
I think it was that the stage protrudes from the hill towards the valley.
Yeah.
Not that it's on the other side and people sit on the hill. I think that's what it is.
Well, anyways.
But once again, not
if you
experts.
Love pageants, go this summer. Don't wait. It could be your last one.
It's kind of... Oh, seven pageants. Let's see here. Sorry, I found it finally. We got Mormon Miracle in Manti, the Hokomora pageant, the Nauvoo British pageant in Nauvoo, the Castle Valley pageant in Castledale, Emery County. Well, they're keeping that one going because no one cares. The Clarkston pageant, Manti Harris, the man who knew... That's the whole thing. That's the whole name. Is held in Clarkston, Cache Valley. And then the Mesa Easter pageant is held in Mesa, Arizona. And the British pageant is held in Chorley in Lancashire.
Oh.
Chorley is where the Preston England Temple is up in the Midlands. Okay. I don't know they did a pageant up there either. Never heard anything about it when I lived 3 hours away.
Like, wow.
Yeah, I was a bad Mormon.
Clearly.
Sorry, hon. You knew what I was when you picked me up.
I know now what I didn't know then.
All right. Have we talked much about there being no more less actives?
The name has changed.
Lexiconically.
Which, again, nice. Goes back to my ministering. Still can't remember that name. I know. I'm going to blame this all on the fact that I went to bed at 2 a.m. and woke up at 6. And I have like 4 hours of sleep on me right now.
Oh, sure. Blame that.
Yes, I am. I'm doing it.
I'm powering through.
I'd blame it on the rain, too, if I could.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about the stars?
That keep shining.
At night?
Mm-hmm.
But whatever you do, honey, don't put the blame on you.
Yeah, blame it on the rain.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, less actives.
They're not called that anymore.
We didn't really have an announcement about this. And I only discovered this because I went to a random stake meeting for bishoprics and... we read through Preach My Gospel, and then we noticed these changes of terms. And as far as I can tell, I think it happened sometime over the summer. Also, hat tip to LDS Living for picking up on our story about it and publishing.
Huzzah!
Thanks, LDS Living. Appreciate it. Anyway, I think this is kind of an interesting change. So now Less Actives, at least in Preach My Gospel, are referred to as returning members. Now, what I find most interesting about this is I just see this as kind of benign, euphemistic language for the most part.
Yeah.
Just, okay, that's fine. It's a more positive spin on it. Get them back at church. Mm-hmm. Positive action. There are others who feel that it's more patronizing, which is interesting to me.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to go to an unnamed. Let's see if I can find it. I don't know if I can find it. Okay. So I'm going to go to a group on Facebook I will not name, and the post says, "Dear apostates, y'all are now returning members." And this is linking to the LDS Living article. But some have described it. I'm going to quote some people without naming them. It's breathlessly assumptive and euphemistic and offensive and petty.
Offensive and petty. Interesting.
Definitions. We shouldn't fear things in favor of coded jargon. Let's see if I can find more comments here. So some people are upset about this. I prefer disappointed member. That's kind of funny. It's it's just, I don't know. I don't get why would, other than like, I know we're on this thing right now where we're kind of like relabeling everything. This one came more quietly. You know, it's not like they've told us all, stop calling yourselves Mormons. And by the way, don't call people who don't come to church Less Actives anymore. It's not like that happened. But,
Well, I mean, to me, less active sounds harsh, sure.
It's not as harsh as inactive was, of course. That's what we used to say. I remember as a kid, that person is inactive. I'd go get fast offerings. They are inactive. Which really...
Inactive, less active.
And then we started saying less active because that sounds a little nicer. You're just not as active as the rest of us.
I don't even think I knew that we were not using the term inactive.
Oh, honey, it's been out the window for a long time. Get with the now. Well, I guess, of course, the now is this. The now is returning member.
Now.
But is that too bold? Because there are people who are not active in the church, period. They're not. It's nice to call them.
Well, I think they need a different name. They can't just be returning members if someone's like, no, I am.
If someone's like, no, do not contact.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're a returning member. They're a DNC. They have a whole other label. We should call them DNCs.
Okay.
Not DNC, like mm-hmm. the book.
Mm-hmm.
DNC.
Do not resuscitate.
That's DNR.
Same thing.
You're just going to start blaming it all. You're 4 hours of sleep.
Four hours of sleep.
Anyway, also, just so you know, investigator is no longer used by missionaries either.
Friend. You're my friend.
No, they say...
What are they calling
them? It's just no longer like a person being taught. Bring the people you are teaching. Just phrases like that.
Oh.
Not quite as succinct.
I thought they were calling them friends.
Where did you pick up on that, honey?
I don't know.
You're my friend.
You're my friend. They can be your friends and the person that you teach.
You know, that actually is an effective approach, though. Many years ago, I was in a ward, and our ward mission plan was just said, bring a friend. That was all the plan was.
Mm-hmm.
Much to the consternation of the stake, who wanted like a real ward mission plan. But I thought it was solid. People just brought their friends, and our bishop just said, look, we might get more people here, and mm-hmm. like numbers wise, you might have more people here, and more of them still won't want to talk to the missionaries, but there will be some who care. And we actually had a lot of great, we had a number of baptisms in the ward over that year and a half or so, and I think they pretty much all stayed active, like got married in temples, went on missions, all that stuff. So I like the friend idea. I think
I should be in charge.
You should have the missionary department.
Mm-hmm.
You should write Preach My Gospel.
Done.
Good for you, honey. You're on fire.
Other changes, the abuse information that's on the website.
The what?
Abuse.
Oh, abuse. Okay.
Sorry.
I thought you just said abuse. Like Gary Busey? I didn't know what we were
getting. Abuse. Yeah.
I think it's like a whole new thing, yeah?
I think it's new, or at least it's more prominent. And some of the information that I just looked over briefly was talking about how bishops should contact this hotline immediately as soon as they interact or see or hear of abuse. And I love that. Like, I love that.
Tell me more.
Well, I love that it's not relying on the bishop who is not always trained in such incidences to just...
That's a generous way to say it, too. Yeah. Pretty much like rarely ever trained. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But to let them have immediate guidance. And I think the church, of course, is doing this because there have been incidences where, I mean, on record, that have gone terribly south. So this is for protection for the church as well as for protection for those people.
Is there anything you feel like that should be concerned that the primary point of contact is a church hotline instead of just getting the authorities involved first? It's hard as a bishop. You're in such a goofy situation because your job is to protect the... Your first job is to protect the abused, of course. That's the first job. And you are, as a bishop, looking for ways to help the abuser repent. Like, it's very easy, to be of a mindset of saying, like, all right, abuser, get away. You know, punishment is thine. But I think it's very easy to forget that, no, like, your job is you still want to bring this person unto Christ.
Yeah.
And you want to help them change their behavior. But I think sometimes in the name of that... bishops have perhaps not been as effective as they could be in going along with it. So, but I don't know, but you like the hotline first more than like saying, hey, abuse is happening. Call the cops, separate these people. I mean,
don't you feel like the hotline's going to tell them to call the cops?
I would hope so. Then it just seems like a middleman though.
Well, I don't know more than
I imagine
that.
They would. I mean, the hotline gives you a lot of, I think they had a hotline in the past of some sort, but perhaps it wasn't utilized the right way. Because I think on Mormon Leaks, they had some old video of... some old video of Elder Oaks training bishops on how to use a hotline from like the 80s or something, if I recall.
Yeah, I wonder from knowing that they have to call this hotline, right? If people will be less inclined to actually confess of any abuse.
Why is that? Do you think that people would be less likely?
Because if you're saying... that they're talking to their bishop and maybe in the past they didn't have to call a hotline.
Yeah.
Then they could try and like work through stuff with someone.
I think they've always been. Is there a specified like moment when you have to call the hotline? I'm sure it's not every single case of abuse. They just say calling the hotline.
I don't know. I think it is. But we should look into it further. That was my quick skim through.
Well, I wonder if I can see this here. I clicked on a link to protect the child and the victim, and it made me log in to LDS.org. So it's not just available to the general public. You have to have an account. But I think anyone can see this. I don't think this is like baked into LCR.
No, I didn't have to log in to see that. So
what? Why did I? Am I seeing something that you're not supposed to see?
I guess.
Because of my secret priesthood?
Yeah, sure.
Let's see. Anything. What is happening? How safe do you feel? Either way, no, I agree. The nice thing, too, is there's an entire website. This wasn't here in the same capacity before.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got resources for church leaders, resources for the abused, resources for the even abusers. I mean, it's to help people get better. And that's what I said it like I mentioned it before, but I love the idea that you can try to get abusers to be better, too.
Yeah.
And not just leave them high and dry. Sure, separate them from a situation. Absolutely. Protect people, but... you know, it's not all over. Speaking of terrible things that have gone down, I'm sure all of you listening have been well aware of the shooting in Pittsburgh that happened last Saturday during the Shabbat in Pittsburgh. Pretty surreal. I was just in Pittsburgh, last month?
Yeah, just recently.
This is only about a mile from where I was doing some stuff there. The church released a statement you would expect that says, we express our deepest grief and solidarity with our Jewish friends around the world after the heinous violence perpetrated against congregants of the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. It is our constant prayer that God will heal and protect those affected by such tragic events. When the security and religious freedom of our Jewish brothers and sisters is violated, we all suffer. Houses of worship should be safe, inviolate places for people of all faiths to join in sacred fellowship and seek communion with God. We condemn the environment of hate-filled rhetoric that has become so prevalent. Anti-Semitism has no place in our society. It is the responsibility of good people everywhere to speak out and stand up for each other's rights to worship and live peacefully. I choose to believe the second paragraph is a shot over the bow at certain actors prevalent in our country right now. Danielle, what's your hot take?
Probably.
Come on. Your parents don't listen to this either. Speak your mind.
I think it's devastating. I mean,
Yeah.
Any place of worship, it doesn't matter if it was a synagogue or elsewhere.
I hate to make it like about us in any capacity, but it's made me think this week, like, what would happen if, there's hate crimes against Latter-day Saints. That happens, tagging on buildings. We have had recent stories about a man who walked in and shot somebody in a church, but that seemed
that was a targeted
yes. personal thing. It wasn't just going after Mormons writ large. But it made me think, like, man, how would that, like, what if that happened to us? What if we're just hanging out there and some deranged person who thinks Latter-day Saints are ruining? Now, I want to be clear in saying this. Even what we've gone through as Latter-day Saints is not the same as what the Jewish community has dealt with. And I don't just mean the Holocaust. Anti-Semitism still exists strongly in the United States in ways mm-hmm. that you don't think it does. There are entire groups of people who believe that the Jews are like a secret cabal running their puppet masters, basically, and they have to be stopped, which is what this alleged shooter said last week. Wow. He was essentially trying to save his race from the takeover by the Jews. There's this huge mindset of that. I mean, the closest we ever got to that was back in the pioneer days of the church when folks in Missouri thought that we were going to come take things over, and look where that went. But it's so sad that it would ever go that way. And the thing that does break my heart, though, is just that the crazy rhetoric is what it is. And I'm not actually blaming certain actors directly for any of that, but I think we've, in the past 2 years in the United States, we have spiraled downward a lot in terms of the level of our rhetoric and how thoughtful we are and respectful we are of others, while a lot of hateful speech has had an opening, and they've mm-hmm. kind of taken advantage of that opening and pushed it wider.
Yeah. My other thought with this all is just the feeling that you have of going to church, and if you are ever scared, just the overall fear. And then what if the church is all knowing? And right now, because they're pushing everything to focus on the home, maybe.
Whoa, you're taking this in a weird place.
Right? I went crazy there.
Honey.
I know.
You should be the prophet.
I'm not. That's not funny.
I had not thought of anything going that way. So your hypothesis is that we're going to spend an hour less at church to reduce the risk of gunmen attacking us.
No, I'm not exactly saying that, but what if you're in an area where it did come to that? I mean, there are other parts of the world where people can't go to one location to preach and worship with those around them. And if you have this information, these tools with you at home, that you can use them and you can teach your family and feel the spirit at home, and you have that guidance.
Yeah.
So yeah. I heaven forbid it would ever come to that, all and only at home, but I'm just saying
it's good we'll have the resources.
It's good to have the resources. I mean, we always have them on the internet, but this is actually like in hand.
We should probably like read that whole thing.
We do like need to read that.
Like to spend spiritual time together.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the British bacon show's over, so we might have time now.
Yeah. Okay.
President Nelson did say recently that studying our scriptures is more important even than sleep.
Oh, okay.
Aren't you excited to hear that? So before you go to bed tonight, after this long podcast and not sleeping last night, I expect to see you
reading
ardently.
I will read. Must read.
I wonder how far I can push you until you collapse.
I'm so tired right now. I'm so sorry.
Oh, you're like our son the other week when he was falling asleep in the bath. That was a crack up.
Oh.
He was sick, it turned out.
Yeah, he was sick. He went to the doctor the next day.
Passed out. Quick stuff. I'm a little bummed to hear that there's an award in Chicago that is closing its doors. Now, this, of course, is not... awards contract. This happens from time to time. But this is the old Logan Square Award, which has actually been there for a century.
Yeah.
And basically, they just don't have the numbers anymore, and
they're not getting rid of the building or anything. There's still a Spanish branch that will continue, or is it a Spanish ward?
I do not know of its ward or branch status.
The English branch will be dissolving. We actually went to that.
Ward. We went there when we were in Chicago, because we were staying over near Wicker Park, and that was the closest ward.
We've only been to Chicago once, and that's where we went.
It's a great town.
Church.
It's a great town.
We were there for like a week, though. So
Yeah, yeah, but I don't remember a ton about the ward. I don't remember much of anything. I remember they had an interesting speaker who I think was a convert. But that's it. We just went to sacrament meeting. But anyways, it's a little close to home. It's sad when any of this happens, but this is a...
yeah.
It's, you know, it's gone.
But hey, we see that here, even in DC. I think like the wards within the city will have less youth.
Definitely less youth. I think the wards in the city in DC do a little bit better because DC attracts so many like young professionals. But youth, yes, definitely a different game.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're just like them. We move out to the suburbs, just like people in this ward may have moved out to the suburbs and walked away.
The difference is they don't have a bunch of young professionals moving and working around Logan Square to populate it, or young families. Just demographically, it's a lot different. So that's sad. Now those members have to go elsewhere. Changing demographics.
Is there only one ward in that building?
I think there's just that Spanish-speaking unit now, and that's it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you sure there's not a YSA, or are they not called YSA anymore?
I think we're still using that term.
Oh, okay.
I'm surprised we haven't rebranded the young single adults, which is about as descriptive. You can even use that around non-LDS people, and they'd probably get the idea of what you mean because they're young, single, and adult. But I like to think we should rebrand that one too. What should we call them? Let's brainstorm right now. Menaces to Society is popular.
Looking for Love.
Love Lookers.
Love Lookers.
Love Lookers.
We're lost. No, the lost children.
I was going to make a zipper sparking reference, so I chose not to.
Don't do that. Don't. You took it.
Ain't no party like a weird Mormon chaste kids party. Oh, we're such an awkward people. There's so much pent up sexuality amongst Latter-day Saint single adults. It's a hard place to be.
Hard. Oh.
That's great, honey. Ciao. Anyway, I'll drop a couple. Danielle has left us, everyone. I'm just going to...
so tired. Sorry.
I'm going to drop a few other ones on you and we'll get going here. So quickly, if it'll load, just some stuff. The great website, mypanhandle.com, which could be about Florida or it could be about begging in the street. Who knows what it is? But
it's about helping hands.
I know. It's about Mormon helping hands, being busy. You know, the typical thing, how we do our alms in secret. Unless it means, oh, this is, look at this graphic here. And like, I'm assuming this is what the Tallahassee or the Pensacola affiliate. It says Mormon Volunteers Helping Hands Program with a picture of the Book of Mormon. You can't get better advertising than that. Oh, it doesn't just show random folks. You have the cover of the Book of Members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Right there. Anyway, it's a 1-minute video about the work they're doing to help out with cleanup from the hurricane that came through there. So it's good for them.
Yeah, if you don't live next to states that have had hurricanes hit them, then you may not know, just like I didn't know, that they stake or will actually call for people to come down and help with legit. That.
So I mean, like we were
called.
We were going to, and then they said, we don't need it anymore. Our stake was supposed to go down there last weekend to North Carolina, not Florida. But
yeah. So obviously, if you live around states that have been hit many times, this is like old news to you. But for me, I was like, oh, it's actually very organized. I had no idea that they were reaching out to so many states outside of the area. So kind of cool.
We know what we're doing.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just yellow shirts or vests or whatever they are.
But like, are we going to rebrand that? I mean, I don't know.
Everything.
I know it's not rebranding President Nelson. I know it's not just a rebranding exercise. I just I don't know. Where does it stop? How far do we take it? With the Tabernacle Choir being renamed, anything goes.
It's true.
That's what I feel like. So Latter-day Saint Helping Hands?
No, because Latter-day Saint doesn't talk about Christ, Jeff.
Yeah, but that's at least in the church's name.
No, because you
church
can't
of
go
Jesus
by
Christ
you
of.
Can't go by LDS.
No, that's what you spell it out. Latter-day Saints. That seems to be, I'm serious, that seems to be...
That's the way they're doing it?
That seems to be more legit from what I'm seeing. Not calling it LDS.
Shame on you.
I don't know if we'll ever change. I'm just too lazy to figure out a new name. I mean, who cares?
Uh-huh.
Do you think I have time to rebrand this whole thing?
You mean TWIM?
I'm losing guests and my comatose wife is helping me out. Do you think I have time to find a new name?
Oh,
I'm kidding. I love you, honey.
I love you too.
Well, I'm going to leave you with one more thing, folks. Over at the U of U, they've got a Century of Black Mormons digital exhibit that you can check out. It's pretty cool. So the University of Utah is putting together a whole interactive online repository where you can learn the stories of notable Black Mormons, which is great. I think we're doing tons of cool work in that area right now. And they want to use it specifically so that the public can get to it, but so scholars can find more information and use it.
Including BYU communications department.
And it's all come full circle.
There we go.
Everybody, you can join us at, what's the website, honey?
ThisWeekInMormons.com.
Well, very good. Yes. Well done. Do you know what our email address is, Danielle?
ThisWeekInMormons at ThisWeekInMormons. I don't know what it is.
Contact at ThisWeekInMormons.com.
Contact.
Also, we're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We were once on Google Plus, but gave up. And now Google's pulling the plug on Google Plus.
Oh. So,
yeah. It's a sad, we're all mourning. It's a sad day.
You knew.
Yeah, we were way ahead of the curve on that one. Anyway, join us on those, folks. And of course, subscribe to this with whatever your podcasting resource is, Apple or Spotify we should be on, or Google, whatever it may be. Please subscribe and share the good word with everyone else. I'd like to thank my dear, let's face it, sexy as all get out wife.
Oh.
Yeah. Love you, babe.
Uh-huh.
I have a good lady.
Yeah. Jeff gave me a birthday gift and he wrote on it, from your hot husband, and I have to redeem it. And it says from your hot husband. It has
to have my name to redeem it.
So I will show a picture when I redeem.
So it's basically going to be subjective whether they find me hot.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, your host. And
I know, right?
If they see me for what I really am, which is 6'2" of Ophi.
Anyways, thanks, hot husband. Love you lots.
You're welcome, hot lady. Now you take those sweet 5'7" of brunette deliciousness and go on upstairs.
Good night.
I'm going to stay here and edit this thing.
Have fun.
All right, folks. Be well, be holy, be happy. Twins out.
Aw, man, Trey, look up at the sky. It's a full moon on the Sabbath.
This is scary.
Break it down.
I was working late on my Haftorah when I heard a knock on my bedroom door. I opened it up, and to my surprise, there was a werewolf standing there with glowing gold eyes. He says, tomorrow, my son, you will be a man. But tonight's the time to join the Wolfen Clan. Tomorrow you will stand at the beamer and pray. But tonight, let's gaze at the moon and bathe. Werewolf bar mitzvah, spooky, scary. Boys becoming men, men becoming wolf. Werewolf bar mitzvah, spooky, scary. Boys becoming men.